There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Chakra Way Meditation Podcast. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Kimberly Braun. And Kimberly has an extraordinary breadth and depth of energy healing and work that she does. She is a minister, she is an author, she is a speaker, and I think most invitingly, she is a mystic adventurer. So I want to say welcome, Kimberly, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
So, I mean, looking at your bio, you know, you do an awful lot of things, but one of the things that pops out as a fascinating fact about you is that you were a Carmelite nun. And so, I mean, just talk me through a little bit of your life story about, I don't know, what you do now and how you've got there, you know, just a little bit of, about your history and where you've come from.
Thank you.
Spiritual adventuring.
I know, right? Well, what's fascinating about that Carmelite nun chapter of my life is it tends to be a very big entry point into relationship with people for me. In some ways, it hits that kind of novel curiosity because of all the stereotypes we've got around a nun. Mm-hmm. And I get the typical, you don't look like a nun, which tells me they have an idea of what a nun is or looks like. But even more commonly, it lets people relax into their own stories. They're like, wow, how many women have said, gosh, I've wanted to go to a monastery. I feel this call and this urge. And for me, that was simply that chapter of life was this saying yes to the ecstatic union we're called to. And my language with that now would be with divine love that's at our very center, with source at our very center. And those experiences of that aspect or worldview, that all creation is this pulsing source that is love, that is all the descriptors that could be caught in the word love, that has been opening to me since I was really young and very spontaneously. I think we all have such tremendous gifts. And one of mine has been in moments of deep openness, where my heart really opened with a question. 100% of the time, I have received and entered into a dramatic answer or experience.
Wow.
Which is a great gift, right? Because sometimes in those really deep moments of inquiry, which sometimes come from suffering and challenge, sometimes we can feel alone. We open ourselves and then it feels like no one's there or nothing is there or we don't know the way. Mm-hmm. And when I go into that place, I experience unsolicited, this being held and seen by a source that's beyond words. And that's been really powerful in my life.
Wow, that's an extraordinary gift to have. Because I think everybody who is on any kind of spiritual quests is constantly asking themselves questions. You know, that's the whole sort of journey, isn't it? Is asking questions of yourself. For example, I'm in the middle of a process now with one of my mentors, and I'm being asked, what is it that I want to die, not just let go of, but die within me, that doesn't nurture me or sustain me? And for me, it's just like, I kind of know the answer, but I want to know deeper. I'm looking. So if I were you, I would ask that and then the answer would come. And so it's, for most of us, it's a source of frustration that doesn't just drop straight in.
Right. I agree. That's one of the mysteries of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we come into this life with desires that are essential to being human. Desire for harmony, for abundance, for the giving and the receiving of love, for clarity. Like, the list is endless. Mm. We all have these universal desires.
Yeah.
And when we open ourselves and find that even in connection with that part of ourselves, we don't know what to do, or we feel alone, that can be an ingredient for frustration, for despair, mm-hmm. for closing our hearts off. And I feel that through my experiences, because I felt myself so supported, that's actually a gift I have to offer to others, to help orient to the kind of question that leads to the experience. Because sometimes our questions are maybe one layer away from the deeper question, mm-hmm. where the answer can be experienced.
So how do you go about finding that? I think we're basically talking about moving through challenges in our lives. Yes, we're talking about, like, because everybody has these things, and usually when we're on some kind of mystic spiritual adventure, to use your term, or journey, which is more my term, we have to ask ourselves so many questions, and we have to come across, you know, we there are so many obstacles that we've got to kind of go around or bust through or go over or under. There are all these challenges within us and without us. Moving through challenge is one of the things that I want to talk to you about, because I feel like it's something that we all are doing on a daily basis, either on a macro or micro scale in our lives.
I agree with you. I think, yes, 100%. And what I've loved in my own service in the world is discovering and helping people discover their particular path. So you've got these universal concerns for every that apply to everyone. And there are some universal answers. You know, one that I have found is that if you can cultivate the skillfulness to be in touch with source at your center, then you will find all the answers. I found that that's universal, but the path to that experience is very unique. And I find that more than practice is important. Like, I have a meditation practice, or I have a energy healing practice, or I do Tai Chi, or those are important. But I think what is even more transformative is the evolution of our perspectives. I think almost always it comes down to, we find ourselves in the tension because something's holding us there, because a perspective, as good-willed as it may be, is holding us there. Mm. There's a belief. For instance, if we believe we're called to live a life of unconditional love, that can hold us in a relationship of any degree, even a friendship of any degree, that isn't flowing with unconditional love. It can override our ability to note what's the best path to take. Like, we can bypass the need for seeing ourselves and seeing the other in a way that's healthier, because we overlay this idea of this unconditional love. Let's say somebody's mean to us, and we can override that again. Well, I'm meant to be unconditional love. I'll show up. I've done that in my life. I was on ministry staff at a church for a short period of time about 20 years ago. And there was an employee there, an older man, who did not believe a woman should be in ministry leadership. And I suffered a lot in allowing the treatment, the demeaning treatment to exist, thinking, I'll just show him love. I will just be love. If I just keep showing up with love, this is going to be okay. When unconditional love was calling me to be honest about the situation, and when I was honest about the situation and I let go of outcomes, everything changed. So that's an example of where we can take a perspective that's really good, and yet somehow our own development isn't letting us be honest about what really is unconditional loving.
Yeah, no, I see that. And it's a fascinating aspect of what we do to ourselves, isn't it? That we can hold ourselves back with the best intentions, but actually not do ourselves any favors at all.
Right?
Yeah, we can. Yes. So tell me a little bit about your I love that you're a speaker, because you've got this gorgeous voice and you've got a beautiful energy. What are you called to speak about when you go to do a speaking work? Like, what is your message, and what is your most, you know, the thing that you get asked to talk about the most?
Right. And so, you know, having done it for so many years, it's wide and varied where the directions go, because I will go wherever anybody calls me into. And then I will do a discovery session to define what's really at the core of their needs and their desires here. Mm-hmm. But overall, I am always tending to be an instrument for people to discover that getting in touch with themselves is easier than what they think, and that living a fulfilled life is possible, that there's a potential within to live a level of fullness, to live a level that has us on the edge of our knowing, that's more available to us than what we realize. So first, my words tend to inspire, which means somebody hears them and they're like, they start to believe, they feel a belief in themselves. Maybe they're not stable in it, but they feel it. They're like, oh, wow, maybe I could live a life of joy. You know, there's kind of a touch in. And then from there, I can offer the words that show first how understandably possible it is, because our minds want to understand that it's possible. And second, offer the types of perspectives and practices that can be integrated easily into daily life.
So what kind of practices do you use? You know, I mean, I have my set of tools of things that I do. So I'd be fascinated to see. I'm imagining that there's going to be a little bit of alignment here. But what are your tools, your chosen tools that you teach?
Right. I love that. And I have to say, I'm a bit of a shapeshifter with that. So, like, I've done whole conferences just on the healing power of sound. And we've explored various sounds to help people come into healing or energy vibration that's aligned with their soul and their desires. That's one set of tools. I have a massive experience with meditation and contemplative practice. And that involves everything from breath and heartbeat and observation and everything that flows out from that as well. I teach energy workshops as well. And so I'm sure that with the title of your podcast, there's alignment there, helping people understand their subtle energy, that they are much more than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't end here. Yeah. This is kind of like a vehicle or a temple.
Yeah.
I also love to provide systems that dismantle the limited perspectives. So really powerful inquiry systems. And not so much like Byron Katie, and she's got the four steps that she has, that she says, if you use these four questions, you will break down every way that you have suffering in your life. Now that's really powerful. Mm. I do that, but I tailor the questions to the group so that the questions are a little bit more digestible to the culture or the perspective of the group.
Yeah.
And I love doing that. Yeah.
It's extraordinary how many different types of different ways, different modalities, modalities that you can find to get yourself to that place of discovery or calm or peace, whatever it is that you're searching for. There's always going to be a way. Now, one thing, I'm going off piece here and I apologize because I'm slightly distracted because my dog is just wandering around and he keeps asking me for something and I don't know what because I've just fed him. But anyway, there we are. Amongst what you were saying, there's something that just a little spark went off for me that I would love to investigate with you. So you lead meditation. Yes. And I lead meditation too. You know, meditation is the name of this podcast. And, you know, the vast majority of the content of this podcast as well is guided meditations. Now, I have always felt that meditation and prayer are extremely alike, if not exactly the same. And I would love to know from somebody who says, you know, who meditates and uses that word meditate and also is a minister, was a Carmelite nun. You know, where do you find the similarities? If I don't know, what do you think? Am I dreaming? Or I feel like they're the same. I feel like they're really similar.
You know, I think we could use, because the words have become pointers. Yeah. Like they used to, in traditions in the past, they used to be very, very, very specific. It's like, I think pure lineage-based individuals might be affronted at how broadly we use the word meditation. And they might trace it back, you know what, like in 1000 BC, we used that word to mean this.
Yeah.
So it has become these words and prayers somewhat similar.
Yeah, it's true.
I love them as pointers. And I would say where they are the same or similar is both are opening us up to presence, to something that is ineffable, to something that exists and yet is unknown. So I think in that way, they're similar. In ways that they may be a little bit different is meditation practices, the object of the practice itself might simply be the undisturbed holding of awareness in one point. And where prayer sometimes might be different is it's an orientation into a relational kind of presencing. So that's how I might say they're the same, and yet they might be a little bit different that way.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's really clear. And so that's a really clear and obvious delineation between those two. And it's often that I've thought that, you know, in meditation, we're just, you know, we're connecting with energy, with source, with, you know, divine energy. And then, you know, as soon as you start working with in the energy world, you know, we find that these words are coming in, you know, like inviting in the divine feminine, you know, or there's the light, you know, introducing or inviting the light into to us, into our bodies, into our hearts, and so on. And that for me is really echoes of those prayers that I was taught as a child that I then forgot as soon as I was allowed to, you know. You know, in the UK, you know, religion is not a big thing. I know that, you know, it's different in all different parts of the world, but it's strange having rejected religion and just gone, ugh, that's just boring, and stayed, and it's made up nonsense, you know. I now, as an adult, come full circle around to it, finding it my own way through meditation, through spirituality, through even the physical practice of yoga, and finding myself in a place going, these, you know, started off here, and actually, oh, we've come kind of, we're pretty close to where we started from, in this trying to connect with a thing that is greater than us. And I find that really fascinating that, you know, you've obviously been down a very a religious path, and now you are also, you know, you are now in a more spiritual path. Is that correct? Would you say?
Yeah. And I think a way as well, and I think part of the reason that my mystical experiences started happening when I was so young. And when I look back at my life, I think my orientation was always about, and I'm going to use the word God, with the understanding that it's universal life force and source. There was this insight that formed me that all creation is being and becoming in God. So I believe for me, religion wasn't religion, that everything was an experience of this divine. And I loved ritual. I mean, I love, you know, one of the things that I loved about being Catholic, which there are some solid reasons I'm not anymore, was the sensibility. I mean, true essential Catholicism and its spirituality holds the belief that everything is potentially or actually an instrument of grace. Mm. Now that's really powerful because that's incarnational, it's embodied, it's grounded.
Yes.
Now, if we took that religious tradition with these understandings of the Christ experience, we wouldn't have the sedentary and dogmatic systems holding us in. I think they're inevitable that it happens because human beings like patterns that don't change.
Yeah.
We want to think, I've got the truth, and like, it's never going to change. You know, we're still in that place up here.
Yeah.
So I think for me, religion, it did play a really big part, and it was a container that was very powerful, but my religion wasn't my place.
Yeah.
My place was with the divine, and it just happened to serve me really, really beautifully.
Yeah. No, I love that. And that, to me, that is how religion should be, you know. And if religion really did embody that, just that acceptance of grace into everything, and that beautiful embodiment of love and of spirit, then it would feel a lot more welcoming to someone like me anyway. And we're treading on dangerous, we're dangerously close to the here. I don't want to go too much further towards the edge because I could well fall off. But I agree with you, you know, that structure and the dogma and the so on of religion is not for everybody. But it does serve a purpose in terms of that guidance towards that beautiful level of spirituality that I can, you know, that I think is really nurturing for the soul. And I think it's one that if you move towards in your own way, and you move towards it at a pace that works for you, using the modalities and the, you know, that work for you, then it is a huge source of comfort and strength to have that belief system. I think we all, as humans, I think we need to have beliefs. Don't you? We love beliefs. We love ritual.
And I think beliefs are, they give juice to our life. Like, I believe in goodness. I mean, that can hold us through a storm so powerfully. And it lets us touch a part of ourselves that I think is really real. Yeah, I think beliefs are really, really powerful. really important. And ritual is such, I did when in my seminary training, we did, we spent a period of time studying the nature of ritual. And when you look at it sociologically and anthropologically and psychologically, and that we as human beings, we do well with ritual because ritual gives us a safe place to relax into and to open up in a new way. So when rituals let us do that, when they let us let go and open, they're alive. And then we can look at that and say, well, do I have rituals in my life that don't do that anymore, that are stagnant or rote or not dynamic? And then we can let them go. They can be the point of inquiry. Is my ritual letting me let go and open? Or is my ritual because I'm scared and I'm holding on to it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. That's a really nice inquiry to make, actually. Because that is one of the big questions in when you're doing an inquiry is, you know, what is it that I need to let go of? What is it that's not serving me? What do I, you know, where am I with these things that are patterns or, you know, staples within my behavior, like, and an experience of life, you know, what is it that I need to let go of? And so, yeah, I love that. Now, the other thing that you almost got towards, and I want to bring you back to, and I'll tell you the reason why I'm interested in this in a moment, is you talk in your bio and your website and so on about the power of yes. And I love this as a concept because positivity, let's get it out there. And the reason I ask is because I noticed that the next person I'm interviewing has a whole thing about the power of no. So I'm going to do a little scientific experiment here and see which one I think weighs up.
That's really great. So my whole conviction about our call to live yes comes from my belief that we actually are a yes of spirit in form. We are consciousness in form. So there was something in the uncreated that was a yes about existence. And so therefore, because we exist, we are a vibrating yes. That's it. And if as we awaken to that reality, we discover we can live going from, and I'll use a biblical phrase, going from glory to glory. We can go from yes to yes. What that does is that situates how we act and respond according to the deeper yes. And when we're in that fundamental yes, our yeses and our nos are aligned with our being. And that makes it easier to do the yeses and the nos, because I'm a big believer, I know. And especially I try not to be that gender oriented, but I have found over the years that women have a really hard time sometimes saying no, feeling guilt, feeling shame, feeling that it's not okay. I mean, the word boundaries is still very big and operative in the healing process. And as we cultivate, see, you can tell I'm a banquet oriented person. So as we come to the source, our saying yes and no can be done with grace. It's not like a no against, it's a no in service of the yes. Mm. It's like, oh, what is serving me? Because what's going to serve me is going to serve the whole. Is this serving all? Yes. Is this serving all? No. And both are at the service of the yes, the bigger yes. So that's where I come from with that. And I love helping people navigate it. I know in one of my retreats, everyone put into practice being really super, super present in their yeses and nos all day long and discovering what happened, you know, discovering how it could feel very affirming to say yes. Oh, yes. You know, we're like, yes. And then when it came to no, it was hard and contracted and distracting. And that let me know then that that person was not aligned with their deeper yes, because that gives the grace to say no with grace as well. So there's your sign. There's my part.
There's your part.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oh, fascinating. Well, she'll take it and run with that and see what the power of no is. And I mean, there's no denying what you've said. You know, we have difficulty with saying no, you know, a lot of the time. You know, as you said, boundaries, big thing. Saying yes is much easier than saying no, because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or we don't want, you know, and so it's a very powerful thing to actually be conscious of that. I love that. I'm going to be a bit more conscious of my yeses and my noes as I move through my week this week. So Kimberly, tell me a little bit about your book, Miracles in the Naked Light. Is this a new book or one that's been around for
a while? No, it just published last month, Miracles in the Naked Light.
Beautiful.
I'm spending this year in service of it. This is a fleshing out. I did a TED talk a number of years ago that contains the seeds of what's in here. And what's in here is my own experience of what happens when we surrender into the unknown and give our yes in a way that takes us into realms we had no idea. We had no idea we could do. And on the practical level, I was a Carmelite nun. I had been asked after I took vows for life to join a new community just to bolster the ranks. And when I was there, unexpectedly, I received a call from spirit. And that call said, build the permanent monastery. And I gave this massive yes because I longed for us to have our monastery, but I didn't know that actually it was literal, that actually in that big yes, I was downloaded at 29 years old with the ability and capacity to actually be the general contractor, the spokesperson for it. And the monastery is beautiful. So this recounts the miracles. And it also recounts the challenges that happened in the service of the miracles too. Because whenever we say yes, and we step into that full light that we are, that light shines on everything. That light shines where there's a need of healing in the collective, that light shines where there's goodness in the collective, and that all comes out. That all comes out. So you get the deeper story in this book that was magnificent. And that project just flowed through me. And it's so beautiful. The monastery is so beautiful. It's 17,000 square feet, mission style architecture. We built it we had a little bit of money, but not much. And we had miracle after miracle happen. When we were donated 640 acres of land, mm-hmm. We were able to choose the land we wanted, but we didn't even have underground. I mean, we designed the entire underground, brought three-phase power in, and really it's a symbol of what every person is called to. So my hope is that over time, people will even use a lexicon like, well, what's my monastery? Yeah. They're like, this was my monastery. Yeah. What's your monastery?
That's extraordinary. And in the book, I suppose the lessons just come along with the miracles and with the journey of this extraordinary thing that you've achieved. And then, so this was when, so this was a, a little while ago, and then you left that monastery, and it's still there and active and operating. And
yes, so I don't know a lot about the community when I left, and that too was a whole spirit download that I had not expected. When I left, I was seen as losing my way,
right?
Because I was asking to be released of my vows, and I fit in contemplative life, so it wasn't encouraged that I have contact with the community. Yeah. So it was a big loss, but I understood the theology. You know, they were coming from a place of love. And here was another teaching for me. I was given the compassion and the understanding and the forgiveness to see, of course they would think I might be going to hell. Of course.
Yeah.
Because of where their love was. And even though I had to then make that transition alone and lose many dear friends, I understood. And that too is grace, right? Total grace.
And as you transitioned out of that life and into the one that you stepped into, you know, you then embraced so many other things. So, you know, your energy healer, Reiki master, like all of these things, did they just appear and just come to you naturally as you traveled through your life? I mean, it's a fascinating journey to me that you just sort of transitioned. Talk to me a little bit about that.
It is a pretty dramatic transition. I would say that definitely leaving held immense challenges. You know, the sense of where do I belong and things like that. But my inner clarity was so solid. I mean, I was clear as day. So I had this unshakable peace. And what I did is I stayed really close to that presence. And like a child would do, you know, when a child knows what makes their heart happy, and then they just go with that. I think as adults, we're called to have that childlike innocence in our spirituality. Mm. So for me, where there was life, I naturally felt it was true. So as I experienced other traditions, like my seminary was very progressive. When I studied Buddhism, I could tap into the resonance there and open up in a childlike way to the truth that was there. When I studied energy healing modalities that come from different traditions, I could feel the resonance and my freedom to say yes to that overrode any ideas of, like, you know, these kind of systems setting things in place. You know, that has the blessing of having a universality to my spirituality. Mm-hmm. That has the inherent challenge of, I don't belong to a particular church. I am an itinerant minister whose community is humanity, which sometimes, you know, I'd like to just have a church or something, you know, have like a steady community that's my own and I'm a part of.
But I love that your spirituality has a universality about it. And I love that because I feel like that's so true. It just feels true that actually spirituality is universal, and that is really, well, for me, that resonates, that feels right. That's a big fat yes from my inner, as you say that, I feel a big yes, because I feel like all of these modalities, whatever way you come at it from, are all true. They're all right, and they're all true for each individual. There's an underlying yes to that I love.
I love that. I can tell, I can feel that in you.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So where can people find you, Kimberly? I did have your website, but I haven't written it down here, so apologies.
No worries. It's my name, KimberlyBraun.com.
Okay.
So KimberlyBraun.com, you can connect through my newsletter. You can get this book. So the book is new out and it comes in print, which is so beautiful. I still love print books. I just, ebook and audiobook. And my publishing agency let me record it with my voice in studio. So you get the author intonation in the story.
Which is so good. I love that. And also, you've got a beautiful voice, it has to be said. You have got a really, you know, I'm actually just gone onto your website here to have a quick look, and you've got so many, you know, all your services, your meditation courses, events, and meditation, 5-day meditation challenge. We love that. So there's a lot here for you to get your teeth into, people. Oh yes, that's how I'm going to get carried away looking at that. It's beautiful.
Thank you. It's easy to connect for free. I have a number of free things, and then I have things all tiered. I try to keep everything I do available financially for people as much as possible. Yeah. So please connect with me. I would love, if you're feeling a draw, if you're listening and you're feeling a draw, then I know that we would have a wonderful connection. So you can reach out.
That is so true. Trust your guts, everybody. Trust that instinct, that instinctual thing that just connects you. You know, you're so beautifully heart-led. Everything, you know, it feels, you know, when your energy feels so huge-hearted and wholehearted, and I think that it's you know, the more people connect with you and feel, you know, when you feel that connection with somebody who has a big heart, who has that wholeheartedness, always follow through with that, because it's a gift. Thank you so much, Kimberly. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful being with you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.